Parshas Vishalach Toshanayim Gimel Esach Sam Sofer. We know that everyone talks about Hamushim Alu B'nai Yisrael as being that one-fifth of B'nai Yisrael left Egypt. It's the Dabar Acher of Nashi, that four-fifths of B'nai Yisrael died while one-fifth is the one that left Egypt. Everyone forgets that the pshat behind the pasuk is that they went out armed, that B'nai Yisrael went out armed in order to fight a war as soon as they left Egypt, and that's where the word Hamush comes from. But why would they need to go out armed? Why would the pasuk need to tell us that when they didn't fight the Egyptians anyway, and it seemed that they never really wanted to? Even when the Egyptians threw missiles and arrows at them, they still didn't fight back. They didn't do anything. Hashem got involved and saved them. They didn't do a thing. So why in the world did he go out armed in the first place? What's the point in the pasuk telling us this? And why in the world did B'nai Yisrael do it if they weren't going to fight anyway? Truth is, the Kedushas Levi says, the Jews really were a massive nation with many men, 600,000 people between the ages of 20 and 60. That's a great army and two great generals in Aaron and Moshe. Had they gotten up to fight, they may very well have won. Remember, even Paro was originally afraid of them. Maybe they'll gather with our enemies and they'll fight us. That's what he was originally afraid of, right, when they first came down to Mitzrayim. But they refused to fight them because we lived by them for many years. And we have to understand this for a second. We've spoken in the past, over the past couple of weeks, about a Karas HaTov. Mitzrayim didn't have a Karas HaTov. We are the opposite. We have a Karas HaTov for what Paro did for us. Says the Kedushas Levi, we don't murder our old hosts, no matter what they did to us while we were under them. This shows us how much honor we had for them and how much honor we should have for the nations that we live under right now. We should thank them as much as we can for all the good things that they have given us. So we could have. We could have destroyed them. We could have gone out to war. We went out armed. But the only reason we went out armed is to show people that we weren't this Nebuch nation that would have folded and fell down at our enemy's feet when push came to shove. We didn't do that. We were willing to fight. We didn't want to if we didn't have to. There's a famous gra that goes through the four different psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael when they were leaving. Right, that you don't have to daven, you don't have to fight, you don't have to go back to Mitzrayim, you don't have to do whatever. Says the Chassam Sofer, all four of them were the same people. That it wasn't four different people that were saying different things. Each one of them meant it l'shem shamayim, and they went through, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to all four different aspects that all of B'nai Yisrael wanted to do, and one of them was, you want to fight? No, you're not allowed to fight because of HaKaras HaTov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fighting instead of you, and those that said that they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim means we should be Meshaber ourselves in the next 190 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu again said, no, you can't be mishapet yourselves. It's an unbelievable Chassam Sofer. That's number one. That's from based on the Chassam Sofer and the Kedushas Levi. Now there's another Kedushas Levi. It seems the Kedushas Levi says that the Yam cannot accept dead bodies, meaning it immediately tries to spit them out and they float out. Now the truth is that when people die and they're inside like a river or a sea or whatever it is, depending on salt water and fresh water, it's dependent on both, you do sink a little bit at the beginning because the water takes over the body. When you're alive, obviously you float. There's air pockets within your body that allows you to float, but then once a person has water inside his body, right, all the water sinks you down, and you do go down, but eventually you come out of the water. The water doesn't keep you. You eventually get thrown out of the water, and you go onto the banks of the river. That's how they find many, many dead bodies. Why? Why is it that the Yam can't accept dead bodies? Says the Kedushas Levi, death is a terrible thing, like I needed to tell you that, which comes from the Eitz Hadas. And the land was cursed to accept bodies by the time of Cain, because it accepted the blood of Hevel and the body of Hevel, but the water was never cursed to take in such a terrible thing and have this terrible, terrible tumah within it. The water, remember, is tahor. The land is tameh. And therefore, the water, which is tahor, wants nothing to do with the evil dead bodies, which it has no shaykes to. But by evil people, by rishayim, it's the opposite. It's better for them to be dead, because through their death, they can show people that evil gets punished in this world and causes the kiddush Hashem. So it's really more beneficial for them to be dead. I once asked this to Rabbi Eisenstein. It's a long story altogether, but I had asked him, why the Mitzrayim were zocha to be able to get Olam Haba? Why did I assume the Mitzrayim had Olam Haba? It makes no sense. The Mitzrayim would have had 10 Makos, Kriyas Yam Suf, all the punishments that came with it, and still gone to Gehenim. No matter how bad they were, there's no way they would have gotten all these punishments in this world and in the next world. So how could that be? And here's the pshat. Mitzrayim was zocha. Why they were zocha? I can't answer. I have no idea why. I could think of four different reasons why they might have been zocha, but they were zocha. That at the end of the day, huge miracles happened. happened through them, and a massive Kiddush Hashem happened through Mitzrayim. Normally, Yad HaGedola, Shasa Hashem Mitzrayim, HaGedola, Gedola refers to Chesed. How does that refer to the Egyptians over here who were punished? That's the Yad HaGedola, Shasa Hashem Mitzrayim. That Yad HaGedola that he did to the Jews. Yad HaGedola he did to the Egyptians. How do you punish Egyptians with Chesed? Because they died in such an abnormal way at Kriyas Yom Suf, it caused the Jews to have huge amounts of Amunah, and that made a massive Kiddush Hashem. Such a Kiddush Hashem that the sea wanted to keep their bodies. That's Yemincha Hashem Tiratzo Yev. Your right hand knocked down the enemies. Usually it stands for Chesed. That was involved allowing them to die here, because it was Chesed that allowed them to have such a Kiddush Hashem happen through them, which made the Yam want to keep their bodies. That's how great the Mitzrayim were, as terrible as they were, and as bad as they were in the Mitzrayim. Look at the Kiddush Hashem that happened to them. Amalek was not this way. Let's go to the end of the parsha. First, we have to understand why they were sent against us. What's up with Amalek? The Jews said, right before parsha Amalek, Hayesh Hashem Rikabenu Imayim. They tested God by saying, is God among us or not? What they were tested with the following. If God can read our thoughts, then great. And if not, we will rebel against Him, and we'll do everything against Him. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to test me? Go ahead and fight Amalek instead. What's the pshat? Says the God Rava. The Isha Shunamis knew that Elisha was holy. How did the Isha Shunamis know that Elisha was holy? Because she didn't see, says the Gemara, either carry, she checked his sheets at night after the night was over and saw that he had not had any shikma zera levatala, or he had no flies that were ever by him. Now they're not arguing, says the Gan Rava, it's just two different aspects. The point of a fly and its angel, the angels of flies are called Baal-Zavuv, that's Beelzebub from the famous song, Bohemian Rhapsody. Beelzebub, Baal-Zavuv, the lord of the flies, after the book as well, is to cause bad thoughts to pop up in one's head. That's what flies are there for. The miracle in the base mixture is that there were no flies there to make the Kohanim do piggle. They didn't have bad thoughts because there was nothing there. There were no flies to be able to make them have bad thoughts. He had no carry, also means he had very holy thoughts at all times. Elisha was holy because there were no flies by him making them bad thoughts, and he never had bad thoughts because he never had carry. That's the idea behind it. The Medrash says the same exact thing about Yaakov Avinu, that once Yaakov Avinu had the dream of the Sulam, he was no longer bothered by flies for the rest of his life. The Yitzhahara is compared here to a fly. And this is the power of Amalek. To find a wound, suck the blood there, find the issues the Jews had, and concentrate on those bad issues and just try to destroy them in those things. He put tummy thoughts in the head. And that's the pshat behind what this fly wanted to do over here, what Amalek wanted to do. To put tummy thoughts on the Klal Yisrael and to destroy their Kedusha. Ksav Zos Zikaron Basefer Basim Baozne Yoshua. Zikaron Basefer Basim Baozne is Rosh Tevis Zvuv for the fly. So when they sin by saying, does he really know what we're thinking? Does God really know what we're thinking? He specifically sent them a Amalek to fight who comes from this klipa of bad thoughts. This is what you have to fight, Bnei Yisrael. If you fight this, if you fight bad thoughts, and you fight up against the Amalek and all that they stand for, then you're going to have it all good. And if you don't, then unfortunately bad things will happen. There's more to this. It's an Etzitzei Shimshon or Shimshon Astropolia, but it's not for right now. So why must we destroy Amalek? Says the Ishbitzer, since Amalek is always going up against the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what it stands for, if we allow him to go even for a little bit, he'll get stronger and stronger and claim that he's right and people will listen to him. He's just that powerful. It's like a country. That is a rule, says the Ishbitzer, that the king will always be the richest person in the nation. There was a certain guy who was in jail who happened to have more money than the king and was going to pay off the king a bit to take him out of jail. But the king said, no, if I let you go, you'll become king and I'll be out of a job. If that's the idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that letting Amalek go free in this world causes Bechira to be lost. People start listening to Amalek because Amalek tries their hardest to make sure that people don't think. They put bad thoughts in people's heads so that there is no real thought. They take away a person's Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't have these people inside this world. Therefore, we have to continually fight in an attempt to erase his name, and what he stands for will eventually stand up and he'll kill us. Okay, fine. That's what Amalek is. Then I've got two major questions. Yoshua fought Amalek, not Moshe. Why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go himself? What was the point in sending Yoshua and not Moshe? That's number one. Number two, why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu fight them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he has to do is change around a little bit of their mindset, and they're mindless. None of this will happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us to fight his battles for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do this himself. So it's first answered by Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Ksav Sofer, we want a child of Yosef to fight up against Amalek. Why? Says the Medrash. Because Yosef HaTzadik said, Es Elokim Yorei, I fear God, and he should fight Amalek, who in Parshki states, it says, Lo Yorei Elokim, they don't fear God. I don't get it. All of the Shvatim fear the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every single one of the Shvatim fear the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why in the world was Yosef different? Even though he said the words, Es Elokim Yorei, what, the other Shvatim didn't fear God? Only Yosef HaTzadik feared God? Okay. We have another question. Mishnah, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that in the end of Rosh Hashanah, Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hand and helped them win the war? Every time he had his hands up, the Bnei Yisrael were there. I mean, straight out of Pasuk in the Parsha. Every time he lifted up his hands, they won the war. Every time he let his hands down, they lost. What does that mean? Because we're told to fight Amalek, says the Ramban. Because they're so strange. After seeing all these miracles that happened to Jews, they want to fight us? Everyone else in the world is scared to death of us. They're willing to fight us? It's because they don't believe that God truly has power. They want to show the world that everything is just a mikra, just a coincidence. The reason we fight them is not to take revenge against them for trying to kill our wives and children, because it's really not about us. It's rather because they raised their hands up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak. It can never be for our own benefit. It can never be that we're fighting them only because we want to fight up against them. It has to be we're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We're fighting for God. Moshe raised his hands to the heavens to remind them who they were fighting for. This is not to win. It's not for revenge. It's not about that. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he wants. And thus, Meshavdin Liba L'Shamayim. They were Meshavdin themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they fought not for themselves, but for God. When he raised their hands up and pointed to the heavens, that's when they fought for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's when they won. When they were doing it for themselves, that's when they started to lose. When he put his hands down and they started thinking that we're more powerful, we can do it ourselves. That's when Amalek had a power over the machshavas. This is abnormal. Who in the world can fight only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do so and not get involved in battle at all? Especially when they already tried to kill you. How in the world are you supposed to do that? Can you imagine playing a basketball game and being told, you're not fighting, you're not playing ball for yourself. It's not about you, it's about your coach. Win for your coach. Don't do anything for yourself. Of course it's about you. When you're out in battle, I guess you can't really compare basketball to a battle, but in theory I guess you can. How can you do such a thing? We see the only person who has done this was Yosef. He could have taken revenge against his brothers, but didn't do so. He was willing to sacrifice himself and what he wanted to do so they wouldn't be embarrassed. He could have hurt them, but he wouldn't. He only did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do from his dreams. That's why I said it's Elokim and Yorei. I fear God. I'm not doing this for myself, said Yosef. I'm doing this because I fear God and I need to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. He did everything only for the sake of heaven, not for himself at all. This stands for Yoshua, that he would be able to do the exact same thing, his great-great-great-grandchild, and fight against Amalek for the right reasons. Only because they didn't fear heaven. This is why Moshe himself couldn't fight. This is such an unbelievable Ksav Sofer. He couldn't fight because he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu himself knew. He got angry rather quickly. If he would fight, it would be terrible if he took a bit of revenge for himself and didn't do it entirely L'shem Shamayim. He couldn't allow himself to do that, as we see later on. He's the one who says Shimuna Amorim. He's the one that does this. If he doesn't do it entirely L'shem Shamayim, the battle is lost. So he gives it over to Yeshua, who has Schus Avos. Schus Avos from Yosef HaTzadik, to be able to win this battle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Moshe and Yoshua. Why doesn't God just do it himself? Why do we need to fight Amalek? What's the pshat? Says the Kedushas Levi, and this connects with what we said up above regarding Mitzrayim. Chazal ask, why do we call her name Esther? One of the reasons given is for Istahar, which is the moon. She's known as the moon. Now granted, Istahar really is Venus. Let's go with the moon. Even Venus will have the same basic idea over here. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes miracles that are completely beyond nature. The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. And when that happens, crazy things happen with it. It comes from the name Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, it causes huge Kiddush Hashem, huge Hashpa on the world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that, there's an effect that happens in the world. People are impressed. People see that there is a God. Other times, the miracle is more natural. You can believe it if you want to. You don't have to if you don't have to. By Purim, that was the type of miracle where everything was hidden. Esther, Hester Panim. The This second miracle happens through Adonai, through the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a little bit hidden in this world. Here's the idea. The first miracles are like the sun. The sun goes straight down and the light shines down into the earth. The second type of miracle, which is natural, inside the world, like by Purim, is more like the moon. It gets the light from the sun and reflects it, but it's not the light of the sun. This is the pshat behind what Esther is all about. She's Istahar. She is a planet or a moon that reflects the light back, but it's not a direct light. It's not a nes nigla. It's a nes mister that applies, and that's what applies to Esther. When Hashem makes crazy miracles, all the klipos are nechna before him. And here, that's how Yisro joined Bnei Yisrael, because he was impressed, he was blown over by these miracles. There are some people, however, that no matter how great of a miracle they see, they still refuse to believe. They act with defiance against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is Amalek. Amalek saw all these miracles and didn't care at all. They still wanted to destroy the Jews. So Hashem could not fight him supernaturally. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do Nisim for no reason whatsoever. He only fights supernaturally when it'll make an impression on somebody. By Amalek, it doesn't make an impression on him, so it's not worth doing. In such a case, you don't use the sun, Moshe Rabbeinu. You use the moon, Yahushua. You fight naturally instead of supernaturally. By Moshe Rabbeinu's wars, when he fought, he got up and he destroyed in crazy ways, jumping 10 amos into the air and knocking down Og by hitting him in the ankle, is abnormal. That's not a normal thing to do. When Moshe Rabbeinu is there, it's an ace nigwe. When Yahushua is there, it's an ace nister. There's only one exception to it, by the war against the eye when he stood up the sun in the middle of the sky, but that's a different story for another time. In the wars that Yahushua are in, that's the moon. It's a natural war where the miracles seem to be almost commonplace over and everything else. And this is the pshat. Amalek doesn't deserve, like Mitzrayim did, to have miracles happen to him. Amalek doesn't deserve to have a Kiddush Hashem happen through him. Yahushua fights him, not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a war, naturally, as opposed to a Kriyas Yamsuf. And you're going to wage war naturally, and you're going to win. Because Amalek doesn't deserve anything better than that. Ksav Zozi Karom Batsefer. Write this down over here. Is a hint to the story of Mordechai and Esther. Because in both situations, there were seemingly natural victories over an Amalek foe who doesn't understand or want to understand the supernatural. And that's what these miracles are all about. It's the exact opposite of what Mitzrayim. They don't have this chus to have a Kiddush Hashem. They don't have this chus to be swallowed up by the Yam. That's the pshat. And that's why this is called a Melchama Kasha. Nothing is difficult for God. God can do anything, obviously. But He wants people to understand who He is. So He allows some bad things to happen to them so they can open their eyes and realize what they've done wrong. With a Amalek, that's impossible. No matter what God does for them, they're never going to change. They'll never recognize God. They'll always fight Him. So what can He do that will affect them positively? It's a difficult position to be in. And that's Melchama Kasha. To do something that has no chesed in it whatsoever because He can't get anything out of them. That's why Macho Emcha Zichar Amalek, they'll be wiped out both from this world and the next, because they did nothing good here and will have nothing good in the next world. Unlike the Egyptians, who were allowed to make a Kiddush Hashem and thus get something in the world to come, or some type of Gilgal, something that will work for them, Amalek was never Zocha. That's why they must be destroyed. That's why they have no Sheikhas in this world. That's why we're commanded never to even allow even the babies to survive, because nothing good comes from them. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.